Please rise for our call to worship if you are able, and remain standing for the praise and worship song. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether.
You pursue me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it.
Whither shall I go from your spirit?
Or whither shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the uttermost limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
Excuse me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts.
See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now let us sing.
There we go. Got some people this morning. Yay! How's everybody? Awake? Lucas, you awake? Everybody? Well, some of our verses this morning are talking about blessings. Do you know what a blessing is, Brighton? You don't know what a blessing is? Do you know what a blessing is, Riley? Missy, do you know what a blessing is?
Yes.
What is it? He's a blessing. Your brother's a blessing. That's pretty nice to say. I don't think everyone would say that in all families. That's right. You know, I think of a blessing as a favor, you know, or a gift from God. And we may not even ask for it, but he decides we need it. And so he blesses us. And it can be something big or it can be something little. And it's something that Pastor Zach will talk about today, that it reminds us that God is there, even when we don't see him. He's blessing us all the time with these big or little things. And I was thinking about some of the blessings that we have just right here in front of our nose. One of them this past couple weeks, McKenna Medley. Many of you know her, one of Dawson's big sisters. She got into Indiana State University, and that's a big blessing. But then even better, little blessing, they found out that she gets some financial aid. So that's like big blessing, little blessing, I think, right together. And Dawson and Brighton yesterday, what did you have? Did you have something fun yesterday? Did you have a flag football game? And Dawson was dreaming about his first flag football game. He slept with his helmet on. And to us, well, that's kind of a small blessing, but to Dawson, that was a big one. And yesterday, Mr. Lucas was getting ready for a dance, and we found out we had a new tie. And Mama Angie, total clueless, couldn't get it tied. It was a brand new tie. Mr. Dean's gone. Mr. Taylor's gone. Ron Medley's gone. What do we do? The blessing of Papa Dave Lambin just had leaned back in his recliner for a long winter's nap, and he was there. Took him four tries, but he got it. So praise God for Papa Dave. You know, my friend Gina, your Sunday school teacher, and I do something. We've done it for almost all the years of our friendship. And when we have troubles and we're getting overwhelmed as mamas and people, we start making a list of blessings that are coming out of what's happening. And so when we get overwhelmed with our kids or our life, we start making a list of blessings, and it can be, you know, she found someone to help her, or that really is what they were supposed to be doing. And you think about the blessings of the storms lately. You've heard all the storms, but what those are horrible things, but what's turned out is people helping each other. And those are blessings. I mean, think about if you didn't have a place to live and suddenly somebody said, here, come stay with me. I've got water and food. That would be a blessing. And in our church, we have lots of blessings. We have lots of people that just appear out of nowhere with food or prayer or just a hug. And those are blessings, big and small. Today, we have some blessings. And one of them is, well, it's a shared blessing. Lauren Curry back there, today is her birthday. But all this time, she's had to share a birthday because all those years ago, Grace and Lucas were born and had to be dumped off. Annie had to be dumped off at Lauren's house on the way to the hospital. And Annie said, so I think I ruined Lauren's birthday that year, but she never really said. And so we were thinking, Dave and I always say that on this day, we were blessed times two, because when we found out that we were indeed pregnant, we saw this one, and then all of a sudden there was this one. And so we got two blessings times two today. So happy birthday, Grace and Lucas. And Lauren, too, and just remember that they get their permits on Tuesday, just say. So let's count our blessings big and small. Shall we bow our heads? Dear God, thank you for our blessings big and small. Thank you that these remind us that you're here with us even when we don't see you, and that you bless us with things that we don't even know we need, because you know what is in our heart and what is in our path. Keep these beautiful children and all that love them safe and happy this week, and help them to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapters 27 and 28, various verses from them. And it reads, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, my son? And he answered, here I am. He said, see, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then prepare for me savory food such as I like and bring it to me so that I may bless you before I die. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the savory food and the bread that she had prepared to her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game so that you may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went up to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, He put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Next, we have our gospel reading. Please rise if you're able for the reading from John 1, verses 50 and 51. Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Thus ends the reading. You may be seated.
This is the word of God. For we, the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're continuing this series that God provides blessings. 2 weeks ago, we heard about how, from the creation story, that God creates order in our chaotic lives. And he does that through providing his word and his Holy Spirit, and also by giving us Sabbath rest. How are you doing on your 10 and 10 challenge? Have you tried that? Have you started to take 10 minutes to read your Bible and 10 minutes to pray each day? You know, the more you do that, it's like, spiritually, it's like investing a bit by bit. And over time, you're going to see a compound interest as the word of God is sown in your life. And as you draw closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ and learn more about God the Father through the prayer and be more aware of the people around you. So if you haven't started, I invite you to start today, this week. Take the 10 and 10 challenge. 10 minutes of scripture, 10 minutes of Bible reading. And if you are, find a friend and encourage them too. And then you can keep each other accountable. And then last week, we heard from the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham was put to that test by God to see if he was willing to give God back the greatest blessing in his life, his son, Isaac. And Abraham trusted God. He even gave God a new name that said, the Lord will provide. That I worship the God who provides. And when his son asked him, Father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide, my son. And he did, didn't he? Because we learned that God provides for us when we need him most. At the right time, according to his will, God will provide for us. Amen? Amen. And so, today, we're going farther into the story, and now Isaac has two sons, and their names are, they're twins, they're Esau and Jacob. And they have a bit of a sibling rivalry, even from their birth. Grace and Lucas, are you here? Do you guys have a sibling rivalry? Yeah? I heard a great story. We have the game days here at the church, when the kids don't have school.
and we had a youth game night, and Delaney brought a whole bunch of her friends, and one of her, two of her friends are our brother and sister twins. And I asked them, oh, you guys are twins. Okay, well, who's the oldest? And says, well, and the one girl says, well, my brother's the oldest. He came out first, but I was breathing first. Talk about sibling rivalry. And so in Genesis 25, we have the birth and the youth of Esau and Jacob. I just want you to kind of hear this sibling rivalry. So verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. That's for his wife Rebekah. And the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled within her, and she said, if it's to be this way, God, why do I live? Now, Angie, you've had twins. You know what that's like, the wrestling inside your womb. Yeah. So she went to inquire of the Lord. That is, she went to the Lord in prayer and to make an offering. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. Remember that. So it says, when her time to give birth was at hand, there was twins in her womb, and the first one came out red. All his body was like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, or heel grabber. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. And when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So Jacob's the mama's boy, and Esau is the firstborn son, the pride of his father. But the next verse says, once when Jacob was cooking a stew, because he was at home in the tent, more domesticated, Esau came in from the field because he was the hunter and the gatherer, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, hey, let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished. Now that red stuff was probably lentil stew. Therefore he was called Edom. Jacob said first, because he's always grabbing at that heel, right? He says, first, sell me your birthright. Pretty sneaky, huh? The birthright. That is, all the privileges of the firstborn son in that society where everyone lived in their father's house. Yeah, everybody lived at great-grandpa's house, and he owned everything. And his oldest son was the next person to be in charge, and they got the double inheritance so that they could take care of everybody else. So this birthright was a big deal. But Esau said, I'm about to die. What use is a birthright to me? Esau was very tactical. He was a hunter, but he was very short-sighted. Meanwhile, Jacob was more strategic. He was playing long ball. And Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau didn't see the depth and the vision of this blessing that he was to inherit. But Jacob did. And there's that prophecy coming true, where the elder shall serve the younger. See, for a mysterious reason, God takes people who are weak and uses them to overcome the strong. God takes people who are imperfect, even people who are deceivers, and can still work through their lives and bring about his grand plan and his will. God can overturn the establishment and our conventional ways of doing life. And in this case, he's flipping the tables of the hierarchy in the family. The younger now is going to get this birthright instead of the older. And now as you heard Dale read, that Jacob comes in at his mom's prodding and steals the blessing right out from under him. But he kind of does it by following the rules to the point. Because Isaac was blind, he couldn't see, and he told Esau to go out and get him that game he liked. And so Esau was out hunting. But Rebekah had prepared her son to take that time to seize the throne, so to speak. This is like Game of Thrones stuff. And he comes in, and it's funny because Isaac recognizes his voice. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was blind and I could still hear, I would probably trust my ears, right? He recognized his son's voice, but he felt what seemed to be Esau's arms. This is really sneaky stuff. But then I think Isaac, I don't think Isaac was a fool. And I think Isaac realized that Jacob was the one who was worthy of this blessing because he wanted it more. And so he blessed Jacob. And then later on in the story, Esau comes back and he's too far, too late. And he pleads with his father to give him that blessing. He's like, I've already given that blessing. It's to your son. And then he prophesies over him and a different blessing. But the deal's been done. Jacob now is the one who will be the ancestor of those, much like his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, that he's going to be the ancestor of a great nation that will be a blessing to all nations, that God will protect and preserve as long as they follow him. And then later on, we get to that where we heard where Dale read, and Jacob has this incredible supernatural encounter. Chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for a night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth and the top of it reaching to the heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Can you imagine that kind of a vision where heaven and earth collide? And you see something that you don't even have the category for, and so he just tries to describe it as a ladder. Who knows what it was? But he saw heaven and earth having this divine conversation through the messengers, the angels of God. And it says, and the Lord stood beside him. He didn't just have this vision. God, the creator of the universe, the Lord, the giver of life, was right there. Beside him. Can you imagine that? God manifest right there beside you. What would you do? How would you feel? What would you think? And then he speaks. He said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father. And when he says that, he means I am the God who provides. And the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. So he's continuing this blessing that started with Abraham. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. And here he speaks to him directly in relationship with him. Know that I am with you. And those words speak to us today. God says to us, know that I am with you. Know that I am with you and I will keep you. That is, protect you, preserve you. I've got your back. I'm ahead of you. I'm preparing the way for you. I will keep you, he says, wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land that he promised to Abraham and to Isaac. And now to Jacob. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And then Jacob woke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. The most powerful being, presence, uncreated spirit in the universe was manifest right there with him the whole time, and he didn't know it. He was asleep. And I know in our day, with all the darkness that goes on in our world, with all the problems and issues and distractions and things. We can be dull in our spiritual senses to where we neglect or we're ignorant of the presence of God in this place, in this time, in our world, in your life, whether you're at work or at school, whether you're out in the community or you're abroad, whether you're by yourself, God is present with you. We heard that in the psalm we were saying earlier, that where can I go from you, Lord? Where can I go from you? I can't hide from your presence. But how awesome is this place, he says. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid. Afraid, like a mortal terror. Because he realized that the creator of the universe was speaking to him. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Now, there was no building there. He was out in the open, out in the creation, out on the land. And he said, this is the house of God. And so he marked that place, and he took the stone he was sleeping on. He said, this is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. And so it says next, he rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he'd put under his head and set it up for a pillar, and he anointed and poured oil on it, on the top of it, to make it holy. And he called that place Bethel. That stone is what's called an Ebenezer. When we sang that hymn, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hitherto my help thy come, that stone is the Ebenezer. So that's where that comes from. I know that sounds weird, but that's what the Ebenezer is. Now think about your life and where you rest and lay your head. What if that was your Bethel? What if your everyday ordinary life was that place where God is standing right beside you? Surely the Lord, the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. How have you felt God's presence in your life? How have you experienced the love of the Father and the love and grace and faith of Jesus Christ in your life? Maybe you might not see God manifest like for Jacob, but maybe you've heard his still small voice that speaks truth to your heart through someone who was there for you when you were grieving, or someone who saw that you had too much on your plate and you needed help, and they were there for you. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. See, Jacob sought out God's blessings. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to not take God's blessings and his promises for granted. It's a good thing to want what God wants for your life, even if you're not the first in line. But it's great to be blessed with the presence of God in your life. You know, we say in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. And oftentimes, Christians tend to seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit more than they seek the giver of life himself, right? Sometimes we want the blessings, but we miss out on being blessed with his full presence, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was calling the first disciples in John's gospel, and he meets that guy, Nathanael, in whom there's no guile in him, that he's, no one's fooling him. In all of Israel, no one's fooling him. And he saw Nathanael under the tree, so he knew his name. He was already there, he was with him. And he's like, how did you know my name? And then Jesus says to him, what we heard Dale read, that did you believe can you pull that back up, Dean? On John 1, or John 4?
Genesis?
John. The short gospel reading.
Got it.
Sorry about that. Thank you. Okay, so he says, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? Or is that you heard me? He says, you'll see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And he was talking about himself. And later on in the Gospels, when Jesus was baptized, he hadn't done anything in his ministry. He just was obedient and was repentant and baptized with everybody else by John that was there. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on him. And God the Father from heaven said, you are my beloved, with you I am well pleased. In another gospel he said, this is my beloved, with him I am well pleased. Again, heaven's opened. When Jesus is transfigured on the mount, he's praying and heaven is opened. And the Holy Spirit comes in glory upon him and he's radiant in his clothes and in his face. And they no longer see Moses and Elijah, but the disciples see Jesus alone. And the voice from heaven, God the Father says, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Later on, after Jesus is resurrected, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appears to some disciples. One of them was named Cleopas. And they're talking about the events and how they had put their hope in Jesus, that he was the Messiah, but then he was crucified, and it's been 3 days now, and they heard these rumors about these women who said that the tomb was empty, and they said he was risen, but the disciples didn't believe them, and they didn't know what to think. And this man that was traveling with them, walking with them, was Jesus, incognito. And he explained, he said, how foolish, how little of faith. Don't you know that the Son of Man must suffer, die, and be raised in the third day? And then he opened their hearts to the scriptures as he was walking with them in their everyday, ordinary life on that road to Emmaus. And then they asked him to stay with them. And so he did and accepted their hospitality. And as he blessed the bread and broke the bread, they recognized him finally. For them, that was their moment. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. And as soon as they recognized him, he was gone. He vanished and went to appear to the other disciples. But they got back and saw the other disciples and they said, the Lord has appeared to Peter. And then they shared their story. And Cleopas and his friend said, weren't our hearts burning within us when he opened the scriptures to us? See, we can experience the presence of God in our everyday life through the fullness of his Holy Spirit with us. And in his word. Same thing we heard a couple weeks ago. So I invite you, if you're here today and you're feeling dry and weary, worn out, tired of wrestling with life, or even maybe wrestling with God, I pray that today, here in this moment, we will be aware of the presence of the Lord our God through the fullness of his Holy Spirit in this place and in our lives and in our hearts, so that we can take wherever we are and raise up our Ebenezer and worship our God, because he's present with us through his word and his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.